Hey, Oliver, you're on.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Councillor Oliver,
our Community Planning Director. This morning, councillors, we want to present to you or share with you the report that we're about to submit to the state. I will go quickly and address what the report is all about and what the report isn't about. Let me quickly just go over the agenda and what we will cover this morning. We are not asking the board to make any decision this morning. We are just providing you this information and indicating that we are about to submit this report to the state as required by the Growth Management Act, which I'll go through quickly. So it's more of an information to the board. We're not asking you to make any decision. What I will cover quickly is the purpose of the meeting, provide some background. I'm not going to go into details about the methodology, although I will address that somehow. What are the county trends? I will cover that briefly, and then focus on the observations coming out of the 2015 report, and then what are the next steps. In terms of purpose, as I indicated, the Growth Management Act statute, which is under RCW 3670A, subsection 215 requires what is known as the buildable lands evaluation. That requires that we, in coordination and cooperation with our city partners, review and evaluate residential, commercial, and industrial development inside the urban growth area. The county, in this case Clark County, along with other counties, we are on a cycle to have this report be completed and submitted to the state by June 30th of 2015. In terms of background, as I indicated, the buildable land statute requires that the county and the cities examine the development that have occurred on the ground and use that as the basis to inform us when we update the comp plan, which we are doing now. So going forward, to make sure that the counties and the cities provide adequate or sufficient land for the population that we are planning for going forward. As I indicated, we have been working with all our local partners, the seven cities, including the town of Yakult. They provide us actual building permit issued in each of the jurisdictions. We compile that information, share it with the cities, make sure that the information they're providing us is being reported accurately. Gary Albright in my shop is the one that compiles that information. And then we work with GIS and we work with our IT folks to make sure that we are capturing that information as reported to us. Where there are issues in transposing the data from the city to us, we go back to our local jurisdiction and ask them to check to make sure that the report we are presenting is accurate. So for this 2015 buildable lands report, we have been working collaboratively with all the cities in Clark County to complete the 2015 buildable lands report. As a part of our public participation process, if you will, we took this report to DEEB on June 4th. When we presented it to them, it's a report that looks back in terms of actual development that have occurred during the period we were looking at. The numbers are what they are. It's actual development on the ground. So they didn't take any issue with the report. We also presented the same report to the Planning Commission just to also share with them how well we are doing looking back and what is happening on the ground. They too did not have any concern. We did inform them that we'll be making the same presentation to our council today, and we will then put a cover letter and ship it up to the state. That's what we plan to do. I will not dwell on the methodology. The methodology is very straightforward. We have been relying on the vacant buildable land analysis, and then working through using the fund that we receive from Commerce to make sure that our process is adequate to put in a form that we'll be receiving building permit from the cities. So, and what this report is, again, is based on actual development that have occurred on the ground. The reason a criticism of any jurisdiction is not indictment of any jurisdiction. This is just actual development that have occurred, and that's what we are reporting. These are just very brief county-wide trends. This is the annual population estimate for Clark County from 2007 to 2014. And you can see in each year what are these are estimates. The only real numbers there are 2010 census number. That's actual count. The rest are estimates. You can see from 2007 to 2014, what the growth rate have been. And you can see that from 2007 to 2014, we're about growing about, in terms of growth rate, 1.13, very close to the medium population decision that the board have already made. The next slide, this is just all FYI to the council. This is more of a component of population change from 95 to 2014. What this represents, as you can see, the solid line is migration into Clark County. And you can see that in the early, late 90s, that we have really been adding like 10,000, a little bit over 10,000 a year. And you can see the dips. Some of those represent recession or downturn in economy. And you can see that from 2010 and to 2014, that we are beginning to come out of the recession, and immigration to Clark County is beginning to pick up. In terms of birth and deaths, that have remained, relatively speaking, consistent over the last 20 years. However, if you extend this further, you can see that deaths have begun to trend slightly up due to the aging population. The next slide just shows the county household and jobs again from 2007 to 2014. The next slide, Gary, is the actual single family. These are new single family development density by city from 2006 to 2014. You can see that, you know, based on building permit and the density is reported, all the cities are moving up in terms of their density. Vancouver is a little bit over. This is single family now. If you look at multi-family, the same type of information, you can see that Battleground have taken in a lot of multi-family development during the time period reviewed, followed by Vancouver, and Richfield and Washougal right in there with other cities. Commerce is also making progress. This, if you look at it in terms of density, you can see that on the multi-family, that majority of the cities on average is coming close to over 20 units to an acre for multi-family. And this, what we are reporting here, are net numbers and not gross. So in terms of capacity estimates, we ran a 2015 buildable lands model and determined with all the assumptions and with all the variables and things, factors we have to consider. We are showing that the 2015 round, that there are approximately 7,500 net buildable residential acres in the UGB. At a potential 7 units dwelling per acre, and using the 2.66 persons per household, we determine that there is this area or this total number of net developable acres could accommodate a little bit over 130,000 persons in the UGB. The 2015 run also shows us that we have capacity within the existing UGB to accommodate the growth that we are expecting. In terms of commercial and residential, the inventory or the buildable lands, vacant buildable lands model run shows that there are a little bit of close to 6,000 net buildable commercial and industrial acres within the existing UGB. The other bullet there is just indicating that what the potential job capacity is based on these numbers. And what we are going to do is we've drafted a cover letter that following this work session, we will put three of these reports in the mail and it goes to Commerce. So for you, it's more of an informational item to you so that you know what is it that we are doing. If we submit this report, let's say we mail it out tomorrow and it gets to Commerce before June 30th, we have completed that obligation required by GMA. So that concludes my remark this morning. If you have questions, I will entertain that. But again, we're not asking you to make any decisions. I must thank all the local jurisdictions that we have been working with, and appreciate their cooperation, particularly their building department. They've been very helpful sending us building permit, and we have worked with all the local jurisdiction to review that data to make sure that it is accurate. Where there are anomalies, we have asked them to refine that and send us that information so that we can, everybody can agree before we send this report out to the state. So that's where we are. I thank each one of them who is sitting at the table. If they have any comment, they will make that. But I appreciate the collaboration that we have had through this process and through the plan update. We have a lot of other issues to address, and I'm sure that we will be holding hands and resolve them going forward. So I will take questions if you have any.
Without getting into it, one of the things, as Oliver said, is that the statute really focused on what development has occurred. We also tried to look a little bit at what development was coming up in the future. And so, just in book, for instance, looking at new single-family lots, it also kind of reinforces this trend that things on average are getting a little bit smaller. And so, it looks like some of the new single-family lot data that many of the jurisdictions, not just Vancouver, are going to be able to meet their density targets even just on single-family.
Yes.
Just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Brian.
I'd concur. You know, we do appreciate the efforts of Oliver and Gary helping work through some of the numbers. We appreciate the ability to help tweak, you know, on pages 39 and 40, some of the backstory that we have with all the preliminarily approved projects that we know, bringing those numbers closer to that 6 units break. In fact, we believe that we'd be in excess of that. And a lot of them are coming through now that the recession's over and people want to get building. So. We do appreciate the continued partnership.
I've got some questions. In the standing report on page 2, first bullet point, you refer to a density of 4.7 dwelling units per acre. And using that number, you end up with a total number of households, 51,000 something, 136,000 something. application, a different number is used, 7 units per acre, and yet we end up with the same number, 136,820. So the question is, which one is correct?
I don't have the staff report in front of me. Gary, can you pull that up? Yes, and both information are correct. I think what this is saying is how much during the time period reviewed, and I think this is typo error, and I'll have Gary make that correction. But what bullet one is saying is that during the time period we looked at, that the county consumed a little bit over 1,200 acres, with a density, I believe, is should be 5.7, and it stops there. The second sentence says that based on the VBLM, there are what the net buildable acres is and what ECAT could accommodate. And translating that, that's not based on that 5.7. That's not based on that. That's based on if everyone, including the cities, the county unincorporated area, comes in at a 7 dwelling unit on average, that's the potential number of persons that it could be accommodated. So this tells you how much land was consumed during the time period and what the density was. What are you showing? Is it 5.1 or 5.5? Councillor, it's not using 4.7, even if that's the density. We know going forward that the cities have all indicated that there are projects that are on the pipeline, and when all that are developed, you will see a rise in the density numbers. What the way we do this looking forward is, okay, if things were developing as we assumed, in other words, 6 unit average for Richfield, Commerce, I believe, Battleground, and then the unincorporated, I think Vancouver is 8, that if you use all of that, it comes out as average of 7 units countywide, that based on that, we will have sufficient number of folks to accommodate the growth we are planning. No one is developing. I don't think that when all this development comes in and is on the ground that you will see 4.7 units to an acre.
Okay. Do I understand correctly? The cities only track the development within their city limits.
Yes.
And the county tracks about the development in the urban growth area.
Yes.
And so if this density naturally is higher in the city limits, I wouldn't think it'd be appropriate for us to use in the urban growth area that same high density. Do we have our own tracking of our permits? Do you know what that number is?
Councilor, so that same table, I'll just go back and pull it up. So the total city is 6.8 units per acre. When we include the unincorporated area, the total drops down to 4.7. So over the past 6 years from July 1st, 2006, to the end of 2014, development was occurring at 6.8 units per acre inside the cities. So when you look at the unincorporated areas, it drops it down to 4.7. But overall, when you look at the vacant land model, so the assumption is based on 4, 6, and 8 units per acre for each of the jurisdictions, the average is 7 units per acre, which would total the 136,000. The number up there on the screen.
Would
it make sense to see table 8?
I just want to make sure that we have the right basic numbers here. I think what you just said, I'm sure trying to make sure I understand. 6.8 units per acre is what's happening inside the city limits.
Yes.
4.7 is what's happening inside the rural area. And the average of that, you're saying, is 7?
Be
somewhere between.
It would. It would be 5.7. So that's just for the building permits that have come in. So, but then the vacant land model is based on vacant buildable land. So it's separate from looking at actual permit zone that has come in. So the vacant land model is a 20-year look going out with the planning assumptions of 4, 6, and 8 for each jurisdiction. So it's two different things that we're looking at. There's a lot of information, so we're trying to make a juxtaposition of the actual build permits and future 20 year supply.
You will always find that within the city limits that there are meeting their density targets. It is the unincorporated area that is dragging them down. And when you use that, we don't have to look in isolation to the urban growth area, because the density assumptions were made and agreed to based on UGAs, not on city limits alone. So you're going to take, for example, in Vancouver UGA, the average, both multi-family and single-family, is 8 units to an acre. In some cases, the city is meeting that. In the unincorporated area, we're coming in very, very low, because in some cases, you're having one house built on 2.5 acres. All those are going to drop your density down. So that's what you're seeing. Going forward, as I indicated, and this is a 20-year plan, if we do this on a 10-year cycle, I think you will see that some of the things that the cities are saying, some of those developments would have come online. But because they haven't, we cannot assume that they will, for example, with all the land that are available in the unincorporated area, haven't really developed. You're looking at 5 years. So if that is any indication, then we have issues to address. But looking forward and saying in a 20-year planning horizon, how are we, what are we doing? And part of the buildable lands evaluation or 215 says that if you are not meeting density that you assume when you develop and size your UGB, you, the county, and the cities will have to come up with what they call reasonable measures. Either you increase density or you show how. Some of the cities have amended their plan to have a mix of a variety of housing, have allowed condo, townhouses, and other housing products. So if all that were to come online, and they've also amended their code to allow multi-family within their city limits, as well as in the UGA. So it is premature to conclude that that's what we are going to be seeing going forward. It's just reporting of facts on the ground, and that's what 215 require us to do. We're also going to also look at when we are preparing this plan going forward, do we have capacity and do we have sufficient land to accommodate the growth that we are planning for. I assumed, and you will hear from them, none of the cities are saying we want to reduce our density below 6. That's not what they're saying. They want to continue to make effort to come get them closer to the assumed densities and their own share of housing countywide.
Yes, the question is really not having to do with what the density is inside the cities. I would think the purpose of this report is to ensure that we have a basis for our growth that would indicate how much can we accommodate using the realistic history that's developed up to this point. And I'm just searching out the history of what the density has been in the cities, which is 100. The density that has actually happened inside the UGA, which is another number. And none of this applies to anything outside the UGA, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I would think that we would use both of those numbers with a simple sum that would help us to be able to just report those two differences. There are two different densities there, rather than to, because my concern is, if we use too high of a number on dwelling units per acre throughout all of the area except for the rural, then we'll end up with an inflated number that we can accommodate that's not based on our history.
You are correct. However, you are wrong by assuming that that's the trend we're going to see.
Well, this question of the trend is supposed to be informing us with what the reality is. And
yeah, but
our best guess is that the trend that has developed at this point will continue.
I don't anticipate that it will continue.
No, densities over time will increase.
Yes.
In the unincorporated areas. We'll just have to accommodate the additional population. The cities have found that.
Yeah, I think the total number for you, I think you're exactly right. The city data shouldn't stand in for the whole UGA because it is going to be more against the city.
Right.
We should assume that for the whole UGA. So the whole UGA, as I read the report and understand, the whole UGA is countywide number on the ground is 5.7 units an acre. And the assumption is 7, the adopted assumption is 7. And so one reason why, I think at least that makes sense, is that some of the data that went into the 5.7 includes development that occurred on urban holding lands, where by law the lands cannot develop their urban densities, and also by law you can't have urban holding for a 20-year period.
Yeah, that's
so
a 5.7.
You're looking forward at the next 20 years,
5.7.
Making sure you have enough land, assuming that there will be a large number of development building permits depending on 5 or 10 acre lots. It's half the urban holding, it will still be some, but it's highly unlikely, and I don't know how you justify it legally, that over a 20-year period, you would get a bunch of the urban areas developments on 5 or 10 acre lots.
And I understand that. We don't certainly want to accommodate the cities as much as best as we can. What I'm concerned with is that there's a policy statement here. And that is that the area under the jurisdiction of the county, the UGA, will be something higher than it realistically has been up to this point, and that's embedded into these numbers that we're going to send to the state, committing us to, and us signing off and saying this is accurate. In reality, it's speculative. It's assuming something that we haven't discussed, that we're going to increase the density inside the urban growth boundary higher than it is now.
Councillor, we are not proposing to increase density anywhere, not in the unincorporated county and not in the city. The assumed densities since, you can go back to, and I don't want to do that, but the assumed densities that was put into the plan in collaboration with all the cities is that in each of the UGAs, as I indicated, Battleground, Richfield, Commerce, and Washougal is 6 units to an acre, both multi-family and single-family combined. That's the average. In La Centre, I believe it's 4 units to an acre. Now, in the Vancouver, it's 8. Now, when you do this report, again, you're reporting on what actually occurred during the time frame. There are so many things that are in the pipeline at the same time. If all that were to develop during the time period we studied, you will see that each of the jurisdictions will be meeting that density target. What we are reporting to you is that based on actual data, the unincorporated portion of the Vancouver UGA is dragging the density of the city down. That's all we are reporting. And we're also reporting that going forward, as Bryant indicated and some of the cities indicated, we allow folks to build in the urban holding area. We allow folks even in the urban area to build on acreage. They may have 1 acre or 2.5, and they don't want to further subdivide that in some cases. But where we have put in urban holding, when that urban holding as a tool is released, the underlying urban density there, if things were to come in as planned already, zoned already, if things develop accordingly, that we will all be meeting our density targets. That's what we are reporting. We are not reporting, we are not proposing to change anyone's density at all. We're not proposing to change land use. This is already what is on the ground and what development occurred is showing.
I understand the purpose of this work session is to provide the information that's been collected and calculated thus far. And being that we're seeing this for the first time, there's more homework that I feel like I need to do. I need to have one-on-one conversations with you, or with your staff, to be able to understand, because I have great confidence in history and actualities, in numbers and math, to make sure that we end up with an accurate representation to the state of what we can expect in the future, so that we can make sure we've done our due diligence. There are some numbers that are subjective or that have some policy implication that we understand where those numbers are coming from up to this point and what the options are for us to be able to ensure that they are accurate going forward in the UGA. So at this point, I would just want to reserve. I'm not ready yet to say this looks good to me, because I feel like I need to do more due diligence, and this is not the appropriate study for me to deny it even to do that. So let me move on to another question. The question is on the, I assume these numbers are based on pre-comp plan update. This is the number of acres, those kind of things that when it comes to densities, how many lots there are each size, that this is not tied into a presumed outcome of our current comp plan update. Is that correct?
That's correct. If you listen to my earlier remark, this is looking backwards. This is perspective in terms of what have already occurred, what occurred in the last 5 years or 6 years, based on the 2007 adopted plan. That's what this report is all about. Going forward, if the council chooses to make adjustment, you are free to do so with the cooperation of the cities, but I can say that the densities issue is one that have been discussed extensively and agreed to by each of the jurisdiction, and that's what we are reporting. Looking back, what have actually occurred on the ground, and it will be premature again to conclude, for example, that cameras will be coming in at 3 units to an acre. That's not realistic. We know that they have a lot of projects in the pipeline that have not actually been developed. The same is true for any of the cities. So I cannot conclude, even though looking back, that's the trend we're going to see going forward.
Okay. Yeah, I see that we do have on this graph, in your PowerPoint presentation, it includes single family development densities by city, and we have the bottom one there showing Clark County Rural. Is that outside the urban boundary? Why would we include that if this report only has to do with
because this is county-wide report, we have to show the level of building activity in Clark County as a whole. So it's a report to the state. We have to show what is also occurring in the rural area.
Okay. But the report to the state, the intention, I'm not sure I understand the intent, it's not in any way tied to the development in rural areas, correct? This is only the inside the urban growth boundary.
The report is to make sure going forward that you have sufficient land to accommodate the growth you're planning for in the urban area. When you do this report, you include all the building permits that have occurred during the time period that you're looking at, and you're only reporting the number of building permits that have occurred in the rural area. It's just FYI. Remember that when the State Office of Financial Management, which very soon will be releasing their population estimate for the county, when they collect and they go to the cities and also collect building permit information, when they come to Clark County, we report all the building activities that occurred in Clark County. It is those type of information and other related information that they use in giving us our population estimate. It's going to come out in later this month, I believe by June 30th, they will, OFM will issue their official estimate of county population. I'm anticipating that number will be very close to maybe 450 or more, even though we are now showing you, as of January, we are using 448, 845. When they come out in June, that number will be higher than this. But it doesn't mean we cannot submit this report to the state.
So this report is intended to report history up to this point, even though we see a trend here in the number of people immigrating into this county, and it's taken off. We're not obligated to project the trend that we see as already established since 2013 here. Or 2010,
this is just
simply history. Yes. Okay, thank you.
And again, staff is making this as FYI to you. We will have the county manager sign the cover letter and we send the report to the state. We are not the only county required to do this. All the I-5 corridor counties and all the counties planning under GMA are required to submit the buildable lands report to the state. Each county has a different cycle depending on when they're doing their plan update. We happen to be required to submit ours 1 year before the completion of the plan update.
The submission to this to the state has some purpose. What are they going to do with this?
Are they going to review it like any other report? And if they have any, in the past, this is the third report that we are submitting to the state. And that is required by statute that we submit it to the Department of Commerce. They will review it and check off that we have met Section 215 of the Growth Management Act.
So that basically says that they told us to do it, we got to do it. Why are we doing it? What are they doing? What's the result? What's the proof of their work going to do? Is it going to benefit us? Do some numbers reports back to us that will inform us?
Councillor, in the past, in 2002, in 2007, and now, if history is any indication, then they're just going to accept the report. And if it's a check-off, they will check that Clark County has completed their obligation to submit this report to the state. That's all they will do. They will not send me a letter. They can send me a letter acknowledging receipt of the report. This one was done in 1995 to 1999. Again, these are the type of, this one is plan monitoring report. But if you go on our website, you can see the one that was submitted in 2002, the one that was submitted in 2007, all I get is acknowledgement that they received our report and check us off as completing and complying with the Section 215 of the GMA. That's all. I don't anticipate them to criticize it. As I indicated earlier, this is not an indictment of any city. This is just reporting what I've already occurred on the ground, and that is why it's called buildable lands review and evaluation. That's what it is.
I understand. I just always like to see a purpose in something and versus make work.
Well, this will be editorial on my part, and I don't like to do that, then you have to ask the legislature to give commerce some teeth in enforcing whatever the legislature... The legislature didn't ask commerce to criticize a city that or a county that did do this report. It is for them as a department to receive the report. The only thing that the statute calls for is, as the issue that you were raising earlier, and that is to, if you are not meeting the planning assumptions that went into the sizing of your UGB, particularly on density, which nobody likes to talk about, but on density, if you're not meeting that density target, what measures are you going to take to come close to meeting your density? That's one of the requirements of the statute. However, I used to serve on the technical group at the state level. Bryant have participated, and since then I've designated Gary to be going up and talking with the technical folks up there. It's just more of how well are you doing? How well are you complying with the Growth Management Act? How well are you meeting the density that you assumed? And in doing this, this is the third one now, we're always telling them that it is in a time when there is a small level of building activity. Your report is going to reflect that. You will agree that during the recession, it looked like single-family construction came to a halt. So if you were to look at the density, it wouldn't come close based on what have actually occurred on the ground. So the state, even if they have any hammer, cannot do anything to any of the cities, including the county, because we're just reporting on what have already occurred on the ground. We know that there is sufficient land within the existing UGB to accommodate the growth that we are planning for. We also acknowledge, and the city is also acknowledging, that all the land brought in into the UGB in 2007 are still sitting. They're beginning to see an increase in the level of building activity. So I'm assuming that, I'm hoping that when we do this report again, which is in the next 5 years, you will see a total new numbers or totally different numbers. And again, you have a 20-year plan, and you're doing this on 5 years. If you're doing it in half, 10 years, for example, that will give you a better indication. We've asked at the state level that they change the cycle in which when we report this information. But by statute, we're supposed to do it, every 5 years. Every 5 years, yes. So what can happen in 5 years when you have a 20-year growth plan? Very little. Thank you, councillors and county manager. Any comment?
Good job.
Okay. The letter is going to be on your desk for you to sign off.
All right.
Thank you, sir.